Hello, this is Janet Gowan with Love Letters Live, and my guest today is my friend Pamela Ward, who actually came into my life as an electrician, the best ever, and then you retired from that essentially to go back to school, didn't you?
Yeah, more or less. Okay. That's the nutshell of it, yes.
Oceanography?
No, marine biology.
Marine biology, yes. Thank you for correcting that. I told somebody oceanography the other day.
That's
marine
right.
biology. Anyway, she's here visiting, and we were talking about I don't remember what, and she mentioned one of our elected officials who has really meant something to her. Why don't you say who it is?
Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and on the internet she's known as AOC, but I like to say her whole name. I like the name Alexandria, Alex for short. And
how did you first become aware of her?
Oh, well, I mean, she's all over the media.
I know
she
is now.
No, she was when she was running it. We were watching her.
Okay.
I mean, this is a woman who was working as a bartender or tending bar, whichever way you want to look at it, who went through college, who was struggling to make ends meet, and now represents represents Brooklyn from New York. So
and she means, I know that she really struck you. What about her gives you hope?
Well, her honesty, you know, when they come at her with all these false accusations and stirring a pot that doesn't exist.
Who is the they?
You know, the GOP, the media, you know, we've got this whole Jerry Springer world going on around us right now. And she doesn't get shook by it. She always responds in a way that I think is intelligent, calm, to the point, you know, she doesn't buy into that. She doesn't buy into that. I'm going to attack you because you attacked me. I'm just going to blow a hole in your attack.
What's her philosophy? What is her political?
This is part of why I hesitate to do this. I don't want to assume that I know that much, but she, I would
say. Well,
what is it
you like?
Well, she's very supportive of, you know, our social programs and all the things that we've been talking about. Climate change is high on her agenda. She's introduced what she's calling the Green New Deal, mm-hmm. right, in reference to the original New Deal, and it has to do with climate change and all the things that we are doing to the planet and how we have to address this now, right, and to embrace it. I thought the name was kind of ingenious because it supported this reference to something that was punned and against in the beginning, and it's turned out to be a really good thing. Part of our detriment is lying to ourselves, right? To ignore what's going on. And as I kind of lost my track there.
I'm sorry, I did
about
that.
That's
because
okay.
This whole thing. And by the way, the Green Party got taken seriously when somebody realized that there was money in it, that you
right.
could sell products
right.
that were green.
Right.
I know. I get a little crabby at this.
Well, no, it's always about that, right? That's when it gets embraced, when you start talking dollars and cents, and that's just stupid, okay? Because all the money in the world is not going to give you clean water. All the money in the world is not going to keep your food from being contaminated and make sure that there's food here. We don't understand how we're cutting off our nose to spite our face, and it is just ironic.
And I think one of the things that touched me is she just does not like the philosophy of meh.
Yes. No.
She's taken on that attitude of
complacency.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, either you're actively involved with undermining our system or you're complacent to it. Okay. I don't feel qualified to talk real details, but even the biased media has reported on all the things that the government employees, because that's what they are, okay, this administration, they are government employees, has wasted money.
Well, I was aware of it from many years ago.
Not including the tax break that they gave everybody that really
okay,
didn't
I'm,
give
I'm
everybody.
I'm not even counting that. And
right.
I'm not counting stupid expenditures that are just a lack of intelligence.
Right. You mean like sending your rabbit on vacation with you?
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay.
So
who does
many,
that?
Many, many, many years
who
ago.
Who does that?
You'll always find someone. Many, many years ago, there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle that $97 million had been embezzled from the San Francisco Unified School District. Well, I just went nuts.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to start a class action suit because that's my property tax they've stolen.
Right.
And, yes, so turns out that the class action attorneys I talked to couldn't do it because it was too criminal. So a few years later, Yes, I found somebody on the school board and said, whatever happened with that? Well, two of the people are in jail. Two of them are free, and the money was somewhere in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two people in jail, I realized that not just the $97 million, but court costs. Mm-hmm. You could, whatever does it embe- So I started looking for other embezzlement, and it is just rampant, rampant. So anyway, if they put a stop to that, we could afford some things.
Right.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
There's a lot of things we could afford to put a stop to. So don't even get me started on the Pentagon and giving them more money than they even asked for to begin with, okay? And I am a veteran, so, you know, here's the thing.
You think she can put a stop to some of this?
I do. I do think that AOC and these other women that have been elected this Congress bring a lot of inspiration and hope to getting our democracy back, because it's not perfect. It's never been perfect, but we have the potential to be. It's there. It's in black and white. It's in writing. It's about interpretation. It's about fighting for what was laid down. And this American dream that we've been taught all our lives, to make it a reality for everybody. Everybody gets an equal chance at it, okay? And remember when just being middle class was something? Achieving middle class, being content with being able to take vacation once a year with your family, having your home.
Or being a shoe salesman and being able to buy a house.
Well, yeah, having a home, not having to worry about money. But you didn't need to have billions and millions of dollars and jewelry everywhere. And don't get me wrong, okay, if that's your thing, but really, that shouldn't be the aspiration.
Well, one of the troubles with that.
What happened to happiness? Just be happy.
One of the troubles with that is, never mind the millions and billions, because there's a lot to say about how people get the billions. And okay. But what happens with, I mean, there are people now who, couples who earn, you know, $100,000 a year, and they can't afford braces for their children. Mm-hmm. The prices have gone insane. Mm-hmm. Costs have just gotten too high for reasons another time.
And they're addressing all of that. That's the thing. These women in particular that have come into this Congress, are on mark, okay? They're focused. They know what needs to be done. They know that they have the tools there. They just got to derail this other narrative, this other lying, cheating narrative, okay? This hypocrisy that's going on. And yeah, I think they give us a lot of hope. And she happens to be the face of this movement.
Okay, so now my question is, because we're about love letters.
Okay.
That in talking about this, we both have gotten angry at things.
Right.
I mean, I can see it in your face. I can feel it in mine. There are things to get angry about. How do you write a letter that will focus on the positive that you want to see completed? In other words, I think it's really important and more effective to write a positive letter, i.e. a love letter, to a politician, lauding what they're doing that's good.
Right.
And encouraging them to do more of it than writing a hate letter, which is very tempting.
Right.
More, you know, more often than we might want to say, because the hate letters don't get read.
Right.
You know, I wrote one myself.
Exhausting energy is what it does.
And it doesn't feel good to do it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But it's writing, exhausting and eats up energy. It's not worth it.
It doesn't do any good. Writing a letter to someone you admire and have hopes in, like you do, will be an encouragement for her to do more. Do you think you might do that?
Well, I don't know. We're just now talking about this, and I wasn't anticipating even doing this. But, you know, what I have to say about her and to her is that I'm with you, sister, and you're not alone. And women have the power to make this better, and we've got to rely on each other. One of the most disappointing things for me is when I see a woman in this position and she betrays her own. That is worse than being betrayed by the male population. I'm sorry.
Okay, so right there.
So she is, like I said, I admire her because she's not taking the bait. Okay, she's sharp. She sticks to the point. She was one of very few people in that questioning of Cohen that just got down to the point, asked questions that mattered, didn't grandstand. You know, she made more out of her 5 minutes in what they're supposed to do. She's behaving as a junior congressperson who has never served. She is behaving what our Congress is supposed to behave like.
Okay. I want you to stop here for just a minute because I hope you will listen to this and listen to your own voice. And if you feel like it, just transcribe what you said and mail it to her.
Well, you know.
If you feel like
more,
it.
But there'll be more because I'll get time to think about it and
put
it in words if I do that. But, you know, this is a woman who I want to grow up and be like.
You said something, I'm
passionate about things. I'm passionate about my country. I'm passionate about my patriotism, but I don't need to wear it on my sleeve, okay? Actions speak louder than words. People's words do matter. And all of that stuff that I was raised believing has been kicked to the curb and trampled. And not by the people that's burning the flag, by the way, and putting it upside down because we know. We're SOS, okay? We need help. We're blowing it here. And these women, and this one in particular, is giving me, you know, hope, false hope. I don't know, but I've always believed in our democracy.
Good for you. That is so encouraging to hear you say that.
We haven't got it right. I read this book, Neil Postman, I think his name was, and it was called The End of Education, and he called it the big American experiment. And it is. Yeah, we constantly have to learn and change and adjust from the results that we are getting.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want you to repeat one other thing that you did say to me earlier today that I found interesting, and I had no idea. I hadn't heard of it. You said that for every handwritten letter that a politician gets...
Yes, that the statistics that I'm aware of say that they assume there's at least another 100 people that haven't taken the time. And that was before we got so electronic. And electronic's still a powerful thing, but boy, nothing is as powerful as taking the time to write a handwritten letter.
Okay.
Even if it's typed, it's still, you took the time. It's different.
Oh, and you signed it. There's still your signature, so you've touched it. You know, it's too easy to send an email, I think, to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
I appreciate this. I love knowing how you feel about things. Yeah. And this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye until next time.